Well, thank you for coming. Again, my name is Maggie Martin. I'm going to talk about some of the human impacts of the global war on terror, human and environmental impacts. I don't have any financial relationships to disclose. So I just want to share that I'm coming at this from a veteran perspective and from an organizing perspective. I'm not a healthcare worker. I wasn't a healthcare worker in the military. I'm not a researcher. This is definitely from the perspective of an affected community. I was in the Army from 2001 to 2006. I deployed to Kuwait for 8 months in 2002, and the invasion in Iraq in 2003, and then to Iraq again for a year in 2005. I left the military in May of 2006, and that's a picture of me in Iraq at a local market with some of the children. And I share that because those children are something are people who are very important to me and people that I think about all the time when I think about the effects and the impacts of the global war on terror. So thinking about potential exposure for U.S. military, this is outside of the kind of standard risk of war fighting, danger to life, limb, those things. In addition, depleted uranium rounds, DU, and other heavy metals in military equipment, the tank cemeteries that are around from the first Gulf War, where there's blown up military tanks that are kind of piled up in junkyard situations. Those are a potential place for exposure to depleted uranium. Burn pits, which were used very heavily in Iraq and Afghanistan, where the military kind of put everything they needed to get rid of, chemicals, entire vehicles, and then regular, you know, trash and human waste has all been burned in burn pits. The dust storms in Kuwait and Iraq carry around kind of all of those contaminants that we talk about. Psychological trauma that comes from military service and from exposure to war, and sexual violence and gender-based violence in the military. So these are some of the things I'll be covering in this slide I just mentioned. So looking at some of the most affected communities, as a veteran, it's really important for me to acknowledge the people of Iraq and Afghanistan and other areas that are affected by U.S. militarism. We know that from our over a decade of war fighting that U.S. service members are facing a lot of health impacts, but I think it's really important for us to acknowledge the people who have been living in those conditions throughout this whole time and really since the Gulf War in Iraq. Also, those who live near uranium mining and testing sites in the U.S., and like I said, service members and veterans. An overview on DU, it's a byproduct of the uranium enrichment process, highly dense and incendiary. It burns on impact. It's used in armor-piercing rounds. It's been controversial since the widespread use in the first Gulf War. And it's currently on the table for use in Iraq and Syria. There are Air Force fighter jets over there that have rounds that contain DU. So if they're not being used right now, then it is on the table to be used. So the U.S. has not been forthcoming about the impacts of DU, as probably people from the Vietnam era know, in the fight to get care and services for Agent Orange. It's really interesting that the VA and the DOD acknowledges that they use depleted uranium. They acknowledge that there are health effects related to depleted uranium, yet they say no service members are experiencing those health effects, or that there's been no connection and incidents to those health effects. So it's really contradictory and I have it in my notes here that's not on my slide, but when I was digging into this and doing some more research, I found a Democracy Now! Clip from 2004, and it has a military doctor, I have his name if somebody's interested, after this, who was studying the effects of depleted uranium on service members after the Gulf War, and he was asked to cut off his research, and what he was finding was that there were a lot of connections, there were a lot of illnesses related to environmental exposure, and he was actually let go and fired from his position because he refused to stop the work that he was doing because he was charged with the care of service members and vets and was not willing to be a part of this cover-up. Legislation was passed in 2006 requiring the DOD to engage in comprehensive study and report on the use and impacts of DU. To date, they've failed to do so. Instead of conducting in-depth research, the DOD has looked at existing research and stated that it's inconclusive. So basically, they don't want to do the studies. They don't want to do the research necessary because it's going to show that there are connections and it's going to put the responsibility on them to provide care and service and environmental cleanup. Okay, so some of the suspected health impacts, and I want to say that these are suspected because I don't want to overstate a case and say that these are direct connections on everything, because the truth is that the research and the studies necessary have not been done. And so what we're really pushing for is environmental impact studies and cleanup and remediation. But women's groups from some of the hardest hit areas report a rate of birth defects as high as 25%. This is places like Hawija, and like I said, there's not these official scientific in-depth studies that are necessary happening in Iraq, largely due to the continued violence. But these are report backs from clinics, from small towns, and healthcare providers there. The clinics are reporting high and alarming instances of birth defects. Some defects are so severe that the child does not live. There are reports that show veterans of the first Gulf War 2 to 3 times more likely to have a child with birth defects and higher rates of miscarriages. There's increased cancer rates in Iraq, and we do have some studies to show that, but that's also reports from clinics and local doctors. And a potential cause of Gulf War syndrome. Burn pits I mentioned, they're mostly unregulated, used to dispose of toxic and hazardous material, cancer, respiratory, and neurological problems. There's a creation of the burn pit registry that the DOD has taken on where service members can kind of go through a little bit of a arduous process to put their names on this list and potentially have more access to care because they said they were exposed to burn pits now. Cluster munitions, 60% of those killed by unexploded munitions in Iraq are children under 15. The U.S. has invested a lot of money in clearing unexploded ordnance in Iraq, but there's still estimated 20 million landmines and more pieces of unexploded ordnance there. Psychological trauma. Again, I want to mention the impact of the people in Iraq and Afghanistan and other places. We talk about service members' PTSD, and it seems to me that it's not even thought about what the people there who have been living their whole lives under occupation are facing. So again, to raise that up, post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, deployment of traumatized troops, people who already have post-traumatic stress disorder. They're on psychotropic medications, and they're being sent back into a war zone. Lack of adequate care in the military and the VA, over-medication of service members and veterans, and again, virtually no care for most Iraqis. Gender-based and sexual violence. I know for me, a low point of my participation in the war in Iraq and being in the U.S. military was when the abuse in Abu Ghraib came out and was public. And so in reading into this, I found out about a lot more sexual abuse that happened there. So it's both in the military and in occupied areas, in communities where military bases are, even in places that aren't occupied territories, like Fort Hood, Texas. You know, there's an effect to the community wherever the military is, and those impacts of war ripple out in family members and community members. So what are we doing? Demanding justice, demanding the right to heal. Iraq Veterans Against the War is joined up with organizations from Iraq, civil society, the Organization of Women's Freedom in Iraq, Federation of Councils Unions in Iraq, the second largest gathering of workers in Iraq, and we're represented by the Center for Constitutional Rights. We've submitted to the UN a review for U.S. human rights violations. I have copies of that report with me if people are interested. And most of the information that I brought to this presentation came from that report from the Center for Constitutional Rights, and it can be found on righttoheal.org. And there's also more information, videos, a lot of interesting stuff on righttoheal.org. We've recently filed a Freedom of Information Act request to find out about the uses and coordinates of DU. So we're waiting to find out the answer to that, and if we get that information. We held a people's hearing in Washington, D.C. earlier this year where U.S. veterans and people from Iraq testified about their experience. So here's some of my sources, and I think that's it.